week, we did a study on the seven steps of happiness. And we looked in the Word of God, the verses that talk about what makes man happy or blessed, if you will. Sometimes the word is translated happy, sometimes blessed. And what we found was that God created us to pursue happiness, right? Just seeing if you were listening last week. So he created us to go after happiness at all costs, right? No, thank you. He did not. That's what leads to wrong lifestyles and wrong behaviors, isn't it? When people say, this is what makes me happy. No, God created us for fellowship with him. And what we find in the scriptures from last week is this, if we will pursue God and obedience to him, we find happiness. If we pursue happiness, we find misery. Because we will do what makes the flesh happy, and then we'll be living in sin and disobedience, and then God has to chastise us, and it just compounds from there. So, what we found is if we will follow those seven things we talked about last week, all of them talked about what they make us happy or blessed, that we will find true happiness. And God would know the answer to this, wouldn't he, since he made us, and he knows us, and he gave it in his word. So the seven things from last week, see if you can remember any of them. Anybody remember one? The seven steps to happiness. Just one. Dan, thank you.
Obedience.
That was at the top of the list. Obedience. If we will seek to obey God's word, that is, we're on our way to happiness. Amen. What was another one? Trust. Thank you. Trusting the Lord. Trusting God and not man. Not ourselves, but trusting God. And along with that was fearing God, right? So trusting and fearing God and obeying God, if that is our pursuit, we will find happiness. Doug, what did you say? Oh, we're going to talk about that today, but that's a good one. So obey, trust, fear. That's three out of seven that we talked about last week. James? So when James says chastisement, it's our response to the chastisement, right? Happy is the man whom the Lord chastised because we accept it. So we're all going to have it in our Christian lives because we are all sinners and make mistakes. But when we receive chastisement, if we will respond properly, we find happiness. So that's four. And along with that one was our response to suffering and persecution. God says we find happiness if we respond properly, acknowledging that God is in control and that God allowed that in our lives. And he's using it to mold us and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. There were two others. Anybody remember? Yes?
Resisting temptation.
Pardon? Right. Temptation, trials, how we respond to those things. Absolutely. Very good. There were two others. Yes, Roy? Amen. I was waiting for that one. You're not going to find happiness if you're not in the book. You got to be in the Word of God to find true happiness. And then the last one was generosity. We found from Proverbs and other places, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. And that God says, happy are those who are merciful to those who have needs and so forth. So those were the seven from last week, steps to happiness. Today, I'd like to talk about the seven steps of growth. So, as we are pursuing God and pursuing, obeying him and serving him and trusting him and so forth, there are some things that if we will implement in our own Christian lives, they will help us to grow, which is God's will for all of us, isn't it? He wants us to grow. We're babies when we get saved. He wants us to grow up and be mature Christians. Christians that are led by the Spirit of God. So let's talk about this. Let's go to Philippians 3:7 and look at these seven steps of growth. I just scoured the studies we've done before and had to be seven. We did a lot of studies in the past. Blessed is the man. We did a study on the 150 commandments and others, inner graces that sustain us. I went through all of those and found seven. So Philippians 3, 7 and 8. Howard, could you read that for us and then we'll pray.
Well, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Ye doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but done, that I may win Christ.
So notice Paul said, I suffer the loss of all things. He's talking about an earthly perspective there, right? Possessions and prestige and so forth. He didn't lose heaven. He didn't lose eternal life. But he's talking about from an earthly perspective, he lost a lot when he decided to step out and become God's missionary to the Gentiles. Because God called him directly, didn't he, for that very purpose. And what we find is if we're going to grow as a Christian, we have to be willing to make sacrifices for the Lord. Romans 12, of course, most of us know verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so if we're not willing to make sacrifices, we're not going to grow. And this is true from the day we get saved until the day we leave this earth. We need to be willing to sacrifice for the Lord. What does that mean? Does it mean that we're meant to be miserable? No. It means that God is worthy of these sacrifices. And when we make these sacrifices, they're for His glory, of course. But in the end, we benefit because we become more like Christ and we are growing in our faith. And really, what are we giving up? Because we're going to spend forever with Jesus in heaven, no matter what. So much better off to sacrifice here for Him, amen, knowing we're going to spend forever with Him. And when we get to heaven, are we going to regret the sacrifices we made for Christ? Of course not. We'll be thankful for the sacrifices that we made for Christ. So that's the first step of growth, is you've got to be willing to make some sacrifices. God will reveal what they should be along the way. But let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom as we continue studying your word. And I pray, Lord, that our desire for the coming year, starting tomorrow, would be to grow for you. Lord, to pursue you and your word, and Lord, to become a mature, spirit-filled Christian for Jesus Christ. So guide us as we look into these things this morning through your precious word. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So sacrifice is number one. Number two, Doug already mentioned it. And that is faithfulness. So while you're in Philippians, look at 2:16. All seven of these are found in the book of Philippians. So we're going to start in Philippians every time. Paul says here, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul says, I'm going to keep on laboring. I'm going to keep on running. If you go to chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. When he talks about standing fast, he talks about being faithful. And then let's look at 1 Corinthians 4. Philip, if you could read verses 1 and 2 for us of 1 Corinthians 4. And what we find is the second step to growth is faithfulness. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, you're a steward. What is a steward? A steward is someone that's been entrusted with the possessions of others. We own absolutely nothing except our salvation, hallelujah. But we don't own any. We say, oh, I own this house. Well, actually, it's God's. Even our children are God's. It all belongs to Him. He says in Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. Even all the money is His. You know, we talk about giving to the Lord. We're just giving back what's already His. David said that. We're just stewards. And God expects us to be what kind of stewards? Faithful stewards. If we're not willing to be faithful to the Lord, look at Luke 16 quickly if you would, then we're not going to grow. We have to be willing to say, yes, God is worth it. And I am going to be faithful. This, we won't read this whole parable, but here in Luke 16, he gives a parable about faithfulness. And notice verse 10 of Luke 16. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. God desires that we be faithful in all things, not just certain things, but in everything. He wants us to be faithful stewards, because we're all stewards if we're born again Christians. So sacrifice and faithfulness are two steps to growth. Without those two things, we're not going to grow as God desires for us to. We have to be willing to make sacrifices and to say, God is worth my faithfulness. Amen? Questions, comments on that so far? All right, let's go to Philippians 4 then. And most of you know verse 6 and 7. But what about verse 5? Roy, could you read 5 and then 10 to 13? Most Christians know verse 13, but we just read the context. Amen? And in the context, Paul is all talking about contentment, isn't he? Verse 11 especially, I've learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And a discontented Christian is a Christian that is not growing. We have to be content. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 9, if we could. Mark Zeus, if you could read that for us. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 9. Chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. Yes. Notice God explains why most Christians aren't rich, because we can't handle it. It just leads to trouble, it says. It leads to foolish and hurtful lusts. There are the occasional Christian that can handle it, and then God gives them abundance, but most of us wouldn't be able to handle it if we were rich. But God says we should be content, that He provides our needs. We all believe this truth, right? My God shall supply all your need. We believe this. We believe that He will never leave us nor forsake us. But everything around us, especially our media, is always trying to prey on our discontentment, isn't it? Oh, you don't have this. You don't have that. You need this. You need that. And not just about things, but everything. Even gifts, even abilities, even our looks, whatever. God says we're to be content with what He provides. And He says it's great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So we're not going to grow if we're not content. Discontented Christians are Christians that are not growing. And that is our third step of growth. So sacrifice, faithfulness, and contentment questions. All right, Philippians 4, 6 this time. If you couldn't tell, I love Philippians 4. It has so much in it. Philippians 4, 6. James, could you read that?
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Now, most of us, when we read this verse, it's all about not being anxious. That word careful there is an older usage of the word, which means anxious, be anxious or careful for nothing. But in everything, Most of us think about the prayer and the supplication. But what if with thanksgiving? It's the thanksgiving that needs to be there too. Now let's look at Ephesians 5:20. And our fourth one is gratitude. An ungrateful Christian is a Christian that is not growing. We must learn to live a life of gratitude. Thankful for what God has done for us. Thankful for what He does for us daily. Thankful for who He is. Constantly thankful. And Ephesians 5:20 tells us what to be thankful for. Brandon?
Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now just look at those words for a moment. Always for all things. Wow. So how often are we to be grateful? Always. And what are we to be grateful for? All things. Would that include trials? That's all things. Would that include attacks, persecutions? That's all things. Would that include temptation? That's all things. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And so what we find is we've got to live a life of gratitude. If we are constantly thankful for who God is, what He's doing, what He's done, it will help us to grow as a Christian. Ungratefulness or ingratitude is a very dangerous thing, and the devil uses it against us, doesn't he? When we're not grateful for the kindness of the Lord and His goodness. So we must live a life of gratitude if we're going to grow properly as Christians. So we must be willing to sacrifice. We must be faithful. We must be content and grateful if we're going to grow properly as Christians. Thoughts or questions? All right, verse 4, Philippians 4 then. Brad, most of us know this verse.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
We must live a life of joy. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. Amen? And the fruit of the Spirit is love. And what's the second one? Joy. You see, joy, the problem is a lot of Christians base their joy on their circumstances. And if we do that, then we're in trouble. That we talked when we did our study on prosperity theology, that this is how a lot of Christians operate. You know, if they're healthy and if they have everything they want, then they're joyful. But when they aren't healthy and when they don't have the things that they want, well, then obviously they must be out of the will of God, and therefore they're not joyful. But our joyful is not based on our joy is not based on our circumstances. It's based on our position in Christ. It's based on the fact that we have Jesus, we have eternal life, we have heaven. And by the way, those things don't change. Hallelujah. And that's where our joy is based. Not on our circumstances, because those go up and down, those change. They're constantly moving around because God's in control. So we must learn to live a life of joy. Go to 1 Peter 1:6, if you would. And this is one of the things that helps us to be a good testimony to our family and our workmates and our friends, is when they see us going through a trial but not losing our joy, they're seeing something the world doesn't understand, aren't they? Because when the world goes through trials, they definitely don't have joy. But our joy isn't based on our situation, our circumstances, based on the Lord. And it's solid. It's always there. So when the world sees that our joy remains, that's a great test. I'm talking about our family and our workmates and our people that know us and see us go through trials. It's a great testimony. 1 Peter 1:6 through 9. Howard, read that for us.
Wherein ye greatly rejoice, now for a season, if need be, there are heaviness to manifold temptations. The trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. So if it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom now ye see him not, believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
What kind of joy? Unspeakable. Isn't that a beautiful word? And that joy is coming from the Lord, as we read there. You haven't seen him yet, the verse says. We haven't observed him with our eyes yet. But by faith we know he's real. We know he saved us. We know he's been to earth. We know he's in heaven. We know we're going to see him someday. And that faith, that rock solid faith in the Word of God, gives us that joy unspeakable. Unspeakable joy. You know, Jesus said in John 16, your joy no man taketh from you. And yet a lot of Christians allow people and the devil to steal their joy. Well, it shouldn't be stealable. Amen. Because it's based on Jesus and it's the Holy Spirit in you bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. So sacrifice, faithfulness, contentment, gratitude, and joy. Thoughts or questions? Okay, Philippians 4:7 then. Philip.
Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds
through. There's many types of peace in the Bible. There's world peace, which the world wants. And it isn't going to come until the Prince of Peace sets up his peaceful kingdom. So that one's gone. No hope with that one until Jesus comes. Then there is peace with God that we obtain at salvation. We read about that in Romans 5:1 and other places. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we were his enemies. But because our sins are forgiven and covered by the blood, we've now been reconciled to God and we have peace with God. But that's not the peace we're talking about here. We're talking about the peace of God, which is only available to Christians, by the way. It's not available to the unsaved. And it comes, again, from within. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The peace of God. And we need to learn to live in the peace of God. Look at Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Roy, if you could read those for us. Perfect peace. Amen. Not only the peace that passeth all understanding, which God says is available to those that will be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, but also those whose mind is stayed on thee, that will keep him in perfect peace. See, the devil's going to do everything in his power to make you unpeaceful. But if our peace is rooted in Jesus Christ and his word, it can't be taken away. Because it's coming from within. It's coming from the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And again, Jesus said he came to give us that peace. Look at John chapter 16 and verse 33. Our peace does not come, again, from our circumstances. It comes from our Lord. John 16:33, James. So notice it says, I came and I will give you peace. But then he goes on to say, and you will have tribulation in the world. And of course we have all the time tribulations, but he says, that's okay. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's very temporary compared to eternity. I came to give you real peace. Amen. And of course, we have that through the Holy Spirit who indwells us. So sacrifice, faithfulness, contentment, gratitude, joy, peace. No questions? Philippians chapter 2 then for our seventh. talking about growth here. Last week we talked about happiness. Philippians 2, 14 through 16, Brandon.
Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored.
This little light of mine, amen, there it is, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. If you're not witnessing, you're not growing. Because that's our number one mission. That's why he left us here after we got saved, so that we could touch others. And we're here this morning because someone touched us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice that verse 16, holding forth the word of life. God said he gave us amazing power, and power from the creator of the universe is a lot of power. But he gave us the reason why he gave us all that power. Ye shall be witnesses, Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. We are here to shine as lights in the world. We're here to hold forth the word of life. We'll look at another passage, 2 Timothy 2:24. Through 26, Brad. 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26.
And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance for the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil.
Amen. So who's the servant of the Lord? Who's that talking to? That's us. Amen. We're not to strive. We're not to go out there and strive with people to get them saved. We are to be gentle, patient, meek. But what are we to be doing? Instructing them. Well, that has to come from the gospel. We have to instruct them from the Word of God. Why? Because God peradventure might give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. They may listen, they may understand, and they may believe the gospel. And if that happens, they will be recovering themselves out of the snare of the devil and be saved. So that's us, the servant of the Lord. We're here to instruct those that oppose themselves. We're here to share the gospel with the lost. And that is our seventh step. We must be willing to do what Jesus told us to do, which is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Any questions, comments? Next year we start a brand new, exciting study.